Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Stephanie.
This is Natalie.
And I'm Rick.
And this is a Cry Now, Smile Later.
Yes.
We had an intro for you, but due to trademark reasons, we cannot sing it anymore. So that puts that plan.
I know. I see the disappointment in your face.
I don't like that I can't see you guys that are facing the wall. I think this was done on purpose to be. Therefore, I'm blocking you both. You can't see me.
I love the fact that I told her, hey, you can hold the mic and look at us.
That's not easy for me. I need stability.
Jesus.
Okay, so last month was season two, episode one. And
what is time?
What is time?
We don't know.
What year is it anyway?
It doesn't matter.
Time stops spinning. So the Earth's core actually stopped spinning, rotating. Maybe that has to do with this.
Well, the Earth is also flat, but...
Oh, boy. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Bye.
I'm leaving and I'm taking my cheese Danish with
Goodbye.
Me. Okay. Well, I wanted to share some fan feedback and emails. We didn't get any, so we can't share. I did get a couple of Instagram messages and everybody was really happy that we're back.
Yeah. Oh, I got one. We have a fan in Florida.
Oh, hello fan.
I didn't Andrew in Florida. Hello.
Oh.
Hi, Andrew. I didn't think Floridians wanted to hear from us.
Yeah, well, one does. So that's cool.
Makes sense, though, because you guys are Cuban.
Well, I don't think he's Cuban.
Oh.
Yeah, but.
It still makes sense.
I mean, we can't all be perfect, can we?
We're from Florida.
Hello, Florida. Okay, I want everybody to excuse my voice because I'm well rested. This is the voice.
Too rested?
I'm too rested, if you ask me. I took too many naps.
You reminded me of a former boss of mine she didn't sleep at all. And so she would leave voice messages for me. Like she'd wake up at like 3 a.m. and leave a message and I'd listen to it. It'd be like her sleepy voice. It was really uncomfortable. And she'd be like, hello, Natalie. Just a reminder that I need you to order these pens for me.
Ew, it's so intrusive. It was so sexual.
It's turning me on.
No.
Sometimes I text I have an assistant for the second shift that works from 2:30 to like 12. And I'll be texting him at all hours of the night and calling him. And sometimes I stop to think, like, I wonder what his wife thinks. Like, can you imagine his boss just like...
Who are you texting?
It's like no matter what you say at that hour, you could just be saying something simple like, hey, did this get finished? And it just comes off like, hey, did this get finished? Like, it just comes off too nasty. So I've been trying not to do that. I've even put an alarm in my phone at 10:30 so that I no longer text. I just think, no. If Instagram messages start coming in at the same time as I'm sending messages, that's how you know it's not a good time.
That's the cutoff.
That's the cutoff is when men start to you randomly. What are you doing? It's like that. Right, Rick? You know.
Don't do that. I'm probably usually asleep around that time.
That's true. Rick falls asleep so easily when we're on the phone and the thing could be like 6. And then if he's like, I'm going to go to my room. And then I know when you're in your bed because your voice gets really slow.
Oh, yeah.
You start slurring your words.
It's night-night time. Night-night.
It's like, oh, it's night-night.
Night-night.
Listen, I paid good money for my bed.
You really did.
Because it's so comfortable.
That's good. Mine's
not. So I imagine it's so comfortable.
I can't imagine.
Anyway, how are you all?
Pretty good.
I'm great. I'm actually really good. I mean, not well rested like someone over here.
Overly rested. We can't all be overly rested.
There's disease over my head. Listen, I never get sleep, so I think I'm allowed sleep sometimes.
That was a secret. Here we go. There's a story behind this one.
No, I was still asking you how you guys were. I'm fine. Natalie,
yes.
Interesting that you're fine.
Great segue, by the way.
That was
an amazing segue.
It was scripted.
That was so smooth.
Yeah, that was very.
Well, you guys ruined it. Now it doesn't seem so smooth.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No, continue. Please, please continue.
I mean, you definitely would have used a well-rested as a great segue.
Interesting. You're fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, maybe, let's say, 2 years ago? You were not fine. 2 years? 1 year ago?
It's been longer, I think.
Three?
It's been too long for it to still be a problem, actually.
Okay.
But that just shows you that I like to hold on to things with a death grip.
It's interesting that you don't know how not good you are until you're better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to segue the show into, like, you know, I got some great sleep last night, but you know what? 2 years ago, I couldn't say that because...
Well, that wasn't my truth, so I couldn't say that.
Well, you're still sleeping well 2 years ago?
I actually used to get better sleep when I was being mistreated.
Wow. I guess that's a secret right there.
I just was like, if I sleep long enough, everything will go away. I don't have to deal with it. There was a time when you didn't feel great. Now, the three of us have a common factor here. We share a common trait.
Common denominator?
Yes. We all dealt with today's topic, narcissistic exes. Everybody settle down. Because I know everybody out there is like...
Yeah.
Pulling over. Oh my God. Everybody's calling in. Actually, somebody did ask if we took live calls. I'm sorry, we don't. We barely have enough seats to do this. But anyway, this morning I was going through my notes because this episode was actually supposed to be about toxic neighbors, which is me. I'm the toxic neighbor. And I was reading the notes to my current partner, and he listened to the whole boring thing. And then in the end, I was like, man, I think I'm the toxic one, right? Like, I just heard this story out loud, and I think I'm the fucked up one. I'm too bougie for, you know, the ghetto I live in. Oh, you can't say ghetto anymore. The hood I live in. So then...
How is that better?
It's called urban.
Urban suburbia that I chose to live by. And then he was like, yeah, I think it's you. And but he was so nice about it. And then he heard the whole thing. And then I kept asking, like, oh, you don't have to hear this. Or like, you know. He was so sweet about it. And then I realized, I was like, man, I'm still doing a lot of the things that I used to do with my ex, because I was just such an inconvenience for my ex that he would make me feel bad about talking and sharing and just anything, right? So I was always... so careful about hurting his feelings or like taking up his time, because he made me feel like I was just not deserving of it. So then this morning I was like, fuck, this is so nice. Like, wow, this is what a healthy relationship is. Somebody hears me out, as boring as it is. And he was like, yeah, babe, you're the one, you're the problem. But is it like, but that's where it ended. It wasn't like, yeah, you're the problem, you should work on that. It wasn't like, yeah, you're the problem because you do this. And you do that, and you do this sometimes. And that, so he wasn't, like, making me feel bad. Anyway, that reminded me of what a long way we've all come, because I know we all have a story to share. But it's just so different being in a healthy relationship now. And I'm realizing that I'm the one that has a lot of work to do, and I'm very grateful that I have somebody that's so healthy and willing to just stand by me and understands where I'm coming from.
That's nice. That's something we can all kind of just hope that we get to experience. Yes, I know I haven't so far.
I don't like that I turned around and you were just staring. You were like, that's
real nice.
Wow.
That's nice.
Great for you. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. We all have an ex story we could share. We are all coming from a different perspective. Right, because I'm coming from a place where I had everything given to me financially. I had a very nice life, but then I was not permitted any of that person's time or energy or love, nothing.
Respect.
And Rick, I know you'll get into your thing, but you're coming from a place where you were dating somebody who was a narcissistic, which is a place a lot of us get lost in, because a lot of us meet people... and they keep us in this weird limbo where we're never sure of what they want. But then they always keep us close enough, and we're just never sure. And that's also very traumatizing. And Natalie, you were with somebody that brought you nothing. And yeah, took everything from you.
Too much.
Literally came in with negatives. I need just all of you to even get back to the basics, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Share with us, Natalie, if you like, a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this was my first serious relationship, so I didn't know any better. And I thought, oh, it's fine. Everybody goes through this. That's not true. I had so little experience at the time that I just didn't know what red flags were. I didn't realize it was all bad. I didn't realize it was what it ended up being, which was just a really abusive and like terrible relationship. He pretty much didn't work the entire time we were together. He was a housewife. He brought nothing to the table. He was inconsiderate. He was cruel. He was just irresponsible. Just you name it. He was just a piece of crap. And I don't feel bad saying that because it's just, it is what it is. But I didn't know that. I didn't realize it. I thought it was fine. I thought, hey, you know, everybody deserves a chance. You know, beneath it all, he's, you know, there's a good guy under there. There wasn't, turns out. I'd say his one redeeming quality was that he was really kind to animals. That's the only thing I can really, that's the only thing I can think of.
It's like when people say, oh, he doesn't yell at me. He doesn't hit me. And it's like, that's the basics. He breathes. That's the basics of a human, right?
And yet he couldn't be nice to you?
Barely. Yeah.
How old were you when you met this person?
I was, I think like 27. So okay. Old enough. I should have, at that point, I should have known better, but I just...
Yes and no, because this goes way back into how we didn't grow up with fathers.
Yeah.
So we were never taught, and people always think like, there's TV, there's shows, there's your friends, there's everything. It's like, no, when you don't grow up feeling that feeling, you have no idea what to expect. And we've talked about this before.
But also, did your mom show you how to be a good wife or a good partner? Because that's also another thing that...
That's a good question. My mom showed me how to work and take care of myself and not take any shit from anybody, which is a surprising fact when I was like, oh, no, this is me taking shit. Like, no.
Yeah. I think it was kind of the same for me. My mom was always...
Because I think they were also in survival mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was just, you know, really independent. And I remember her telling me multiple times, don't get married.
That's like the tattoo on my face to everyone. And now I'm like, yes, marriage.
But I don't know. I think in my situation, I've always had kind of self-esteem issues, and I just didn't think I deserved any better which is terrible.
It's like we don't know that that's for us. Like, it's for everybody else, but it's just maybe not for us kind of thing.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I unfortunately was with this person for 3 years, and financially,
it's like the guy from Tiger King.
So, thank you.
Yes, yeah.
I can't think today. Financially supported him. Emotionally supported him.
You fed him too.
I fed him. I bought his pot.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's.
I want.
Rika's speaking about this. Like,
I want money. I want money. I deserve money for this.
Let's get a lawyer on this case. What kind of compensation can I get?
Larry H. Parker, get me my money.
My mom happens to know Larry H. Parker. Okay, that's a story for later.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. I've never told you.
So when you say financially supportive, I'm like, take me down where that you were supporting him, and yet at one point in your life did you realize saying, what the fuck am I doing? Like, why am I giving my money to their work? And where's the money going to?
Oh, I can tell you, Rick. Money was going to mostly
pot and alcohol addiction. Rent. What else did I pay for? Pretty much everything. I bought him clothes. Everything. And
he was like a baby.
It was like having a giant.
He was your dependent baby.
And and he, you know, he had a lot of mental health issues, and that was kind of his excuse, I guess. I mean, I don't take mental health issues lightly. I understand that those are, you know, a thing. But he, I think, took advantage of that And he just refused to do anything to help himself. And he just stayed at home, or...
No, yeah,
he pretty much just stayed at home because he was too scared to go outside. And I would just work and work and work and try to keep him alive because he was always sick. He was always hospitalized because he drank too much, so his liver was completely, like, destroyed. Oh. It was a mess, and I was just devastated because, you know, I loved him, or I thought I loved him, and I didn't want to see this person that I cared about be ill or, you know, sad. But he was always sad.
All right. It was always raining in his...
It was always raining above him.
There was always a cloud over him.
And I just felt like he was my responsibility. And it took a big toll on me. And it was hard.
Ooh,
I feel like I'm going to cry. I'm not going to cry.
Go ahead and cry.
No, I'm not going
to cry. I'll distract you by saying this.
Well, went back to, and I know it's a, but I think sometimes we always have to kind of realize some of the mistakes and some of the struggles we went through, because I know you said that you support him financially, everything. How much money were you making? What type of job you had? Because sometimes you seems like you were pretty much all paycheck was going to this person. How did you survive on the fact that after you giving him your money, how much was left for you to spend?
Yeah, we were living together in a studio.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is not enough space for two people. take notes, everyone.
It's always hard because I think a lot of the reasons we get stuck in that, where it goes on, like you're saying, it went on for 3 years, mm-hmm. so did mine, is because it's really hard to ask for help when you've spent 3 years hiding this person from people. Because you hide them because you want everybody to love them as much as you did at one point,
right.
or thought you did. And it's really, really hard when you're just at the point where you're like, fuck, I can't. Because how do you then go to your family and be like, hey, do you know this person that I tried to convince you is so great? Guess what? You know, he yells at me. Like, you know, like, and so it's also really hard because it's embarrassing.
Yes.
You're embarrassed.
That was a big...
It's embarrassing. And it just kind of, it's such a shame to then be like, okay, I messed up and this person isn't what I thought. What, it doesn't matter how long, if you dove into it or not, it just, that to me was one of the main reasons why it's so hard to suddenly be like, shit, you know what? I don't want this. And you just kind of keep suffering until they do something that's so horrible that you're like, okay, this is a good enough reason for me to break up and it'll make sense. And I, you know, and it just all, and so many of us get caught up in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At what point was it that you're like, okay, I'm done. What was the breaking point for you to walk away from all this? Because here's the thing, because a lot of people don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And they kind of live through this. So
a lot of people still are living in it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, it took something kind of drastic for me to finally just be like, okay. And I wish it hadn't. I wish I had just walked away sooner, but it is what it is. He was bipolar and he had a manic episode, like a really bad manic episode. And I came home and the apartment was completely destroyed, like holes in the walls. Every single thing that was in a drawer on a shelf was on the floor and broken. He broke pretty much everything I owned, except for the clothes, because it's soft. Because you can't crack clothes.
They land softly.
honestly, it's a miracle. I had an adult cat and a little kitten. And I'm surprised that they were alive when I got home. Yeah, I guess so. They just happened to be out of the way when he was smashing things, I suppose. And so...
Do you ever think that he did that knowing that it would kind of trigger an ending? Or was that just... I thought it was just Monday.
I don't think he knew. To him, he literally... I said, what's going on? And he said something like, oh, I was trying to find something.
Wow.
So he wasn't okay. I'm sure you remember this. I literally grabbed the kitten because I could only bring one with me because I figured the adult was used, sadly, she was used to this. So I just left her there. And I took the kitten and I went to your house, Steph.
Yes,
and you took
did.
Me in for a couple days.
In my beautiful old...
Okay.
And then I...
She said that, but...
I love how Rick just takes personal offense to your singing.
That's not even my real voice.
I know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There's going to be one episode of just me singing
a musical
and sitcom intros.
Oh, God.
No, it's true.
Whatever happened to
Wow.
Step by step, right?
She's a small wonder, everybody.
Thank you.
And yeah, and I told him to get out, and he wouldn't. And I had to have his family, his dad came and got him out, and that was it.
Yeah, the end. That literally was the end. There was no...
unfortunately, I saw him a couple more times after that.
Always those post-relationship visits.
It was just like... I'm not even friendly. It was just like I was being an idiot and I felt bad. So I gave him a ride once or something and still gave him money. Like, what if fucking...
He was like,
oh, I'm just such a piece of shit.
I would have just given him like Chuck E. Cheese coin. Like, you know, go crazy. Friends, there's this rat. He's your friend.
Oh, Lord.
I think it's yeah, you look back and you're just, it's like almost exhausting to think about, right? You just
I'm
like
tired just telling you guys this. And yeah.
That's exhausting.
It was. And it took a long time for me to be like, to feel kind of normal again.
Yeah. To be where you're today, where you're like, I'm fine. I'm good.
We'll use that term loosely.
Okay.
But yeah,
but you're good.
But I mean, at least now you can recognize some of the past relationship to what you've gone through now when you see like, oh, I don't want to go down this
Absolutely.
Route.
Absolutely.
And you just walk away from it. It's a lot easier to walk away from it.
It's a lot easier. And I definitely care less about certain things. I don't care about hurting people's feelings as much. Because nobody can look out for you. You have to look out for you.
That's right. I think that's so, it's so, and thank you for sharing that. It's so brave to talk about. It's so hard. I still have a hard time talking about mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep mine short. I was in a completely opposite relationship during the exact same time you were in a relationship with that. No, it was different. Oh, that was another bad one.
Yeah, that was another
one.
But
we were in another one at the same time, and mine was a person that was, I think, status-wise, what everybody wanted for me and what I wanted for myself. And but there were just so many red flags. This person was so unhealthy, so mentally. It was like narcissistic to the top. And I'll cut it short by saying, at the end, it was like, remember, it was my birthday. And I was like weeping for, I didn't sleep on my birthday that night till the next day weeping because he was making me feel bad about not packing or something in time to go to Palm Springs. And then we get to Palm Springs and I don't even get to stay in like the master bedroom because we had to accommodate his friend who was like the weirdest roommate situation I've ever never understood. Cut it fast forward to him yelling at me because I pulled in too late to like a stop sign, banging on my dashboard. And then to the point where he said, I know that I caused you trauma, but if you want to continue this relationship, you're going to have to go to therapy without me because I can't do this with you if you're going to come at me with all of these problems that you have now, even though I know that I did them to you. Those are the words he said. And I remember when I grabbed my stuff sneakily and grabbed my stuff and I packed it and I left and I went to my mom's house. And I remember the feeling of driving away and feeling like, oh my God, I'm so free. I don't care that I left behind a house and whatever he brought to the table and that I had everything and that I lived, who fucking cares? I remember saying to myself, I would rather be poor again and, you know, start over because I know how to do that because I've been poor my whole life. You know, like we struggled. So I was like, I've been poor. I know how to survive, but I don't know how to survive this. Like, I don't know how to have somebody continually beating me down. So that was really hard. And I now, like, you think even though you're like over it, you still deal with a lot of stuff that comes up later.
I can't believe that you were actually driving on your birthday.
Exactly.
I mean, him to be on the passenger side banging is like, yo.
Do you want to know why I was driving? I'll tell you why. I was the one driving because God forbid that he couldn't have a good time drinking. It had to be about him, right? God forbid. And because if breakfast, obviously this person had alcohol.
I mean, you did call
alcohol.
Shotgun, you know?
This person had an alcohol problem, obviously. It was to the point, I mean, yeah, I'm not even going to go into it. But yeah, that's why I was driving because God forbid I have a good time on my birthday. It had to be everybody else, him and his friend. his friend, mother, wife.
You're like Jesus. You gave on your birthday.
God knows. There's a spot for me in heaven.
At a certain point, did you have to pay, or was he the one that was always paying?
Oh, no, I never paid for any.
Okay, so.
It was a little princess.
Little princess.
A prisoner.
I mean, listen, I'd rather be crying in a Ferrari, wet my tears with hundreds than.
I mean, I was driving. It was
again,
me.
Driving a Ferrari.
Sure.
Wipe your tears with 100. Yeah. Oh, woe
is
me, please. I'll
is
take that life
the
any
end
day.
Of you feeling sorry for me? It was like he was all in it until then. I told when I started my segue, I said that I was coming from a place where I had financial stability.
Well, I mean, again, he probably using that, he was able to mentally keep you in a box and to control you. Because when somebody's supporting another person and...
Well, no, he was supporting me. I've always worked. It was just like, the reality was this. It was like, okay, with this person, I actually might have a real future that I... That, like, because this person is coming with something. And also, yeah, of course, I loved him because I loved the initial meeting him. Things got gradually worse when this person came into money. He worked in the entertainment industry. When they came into money, it was like they actually showed who they were. And that's when things got really bad. Yeah.
And I know it all. I'm good.
She was actually in the car while this person was making me feel bad about not packing or something on my birthday.
So again, when I asked, like the same thing I asked Natalie, what was that moment that you were like, I am done with this. Like, I cannot do this anymore.
It was the one where I was like, I'm done, was the next, it was that weekend, the next weekend or so, he was so upset with me because we'd still been fighting over that weekend. Or arguing about it, my birthday weekend.
Because it was his birthday?
It was his birthday, like every day is. He had this roommate that he insisted, who was 10 years his senior, he insisted on taking with him everywhere. And when we talked about the future, it was always like, oh, let's say her name is...
It's a woman.
Yeah, let's say her name is Carrie. So like... Sherry, whatever. But let's say Sherry, you know, he's like, when we move, we have to find a home with a home for Sherry. It was always like, she always existed. And I was like, no, I need my own space. Like, what am I suffering for? And she always had a space. And even my birthday weekend, she was the one who got to get the room that should have been for me. And look, fuck it, it's a room. But like, it's my birthday, goddamn, you know? So, and I had to sleep in this like prison bed outside in like the pool room on my birthday. It was like, what's going on? And when we were driving back and I thought to myself, he's yelling at me for stop left or whatever, like stop sign. He's treating me like I'm just the most I can't comprehend anything and I'm just so stupid. But yet he treats this other person like she deserves a home with outside of her home and my home forever. She's a queen. And I thought, how come she gets all these accommodations that, and I don't even get the basic, you know, anything. And I was, and then yelling at me. And there was a moment when I actually driving, he was banging on my dashboard. And I remember I snapped and I started crying because I didn't like to cry. I just started crying, but I couldn't control it. And it was the type of crying that was like, if I didn't stop myself, I would have been screaming. And I remember saying to myself, oh my God, is this my mind? Like, did I snap? Am I going to be hospitalized? because I couldn't control it. And I was like, fuck, this is 3 years of like pent up anxiety and sadness and just, I need help.
Yeah.
And I felt like a prisoner. And I remember the minute I knew that I had to leave was when all the reasons before where I was like, stay because of this, stay because of that, stay because of that. I literally said to myself, shut the fuck up. I don't care anymore. Get your shit and get out of there because I no longer felt safe. And I thought, he's hitting the dashboard. He's too aggressive with me. I'm next. That's what it was. It was like, I'm next.
No.
The way he's hitting my car is the way he's going to hit me. And I thought, I can talk a lot. I can defend myself. You know, like, I have long nails. I'll scratch you. But like, I don't know how to defend myself physically.
No.
And also... I'm already embarrassed that this happened to me. How I can't even think of showing up to my mom's house with like a bruised face. So I was like, I can't, the minute I recognized I knew better, I was like, I need to do better. And that's when I was like, I'm done. When I was actually afraid that he would hit me. That was a long-winded answer, but that's the answer that I'm giving.
Wow. It's a good answer.
Yeah.
Well, glad you're out of that relationship.
Thank you.
Fuck that.
And applause for us. Thank you.
Yay.
Yes.
To you, Rick, because I'm desperately wanting you to share. Because so many of us have been in this position at some point, and we never really talk about it.
Well, let's make a part two, because I honestly think that we're going way too long. So
that's a good idea.
Let's do part two. I will tell my story.
That's right. Everybody needs
tune in for that
break to the Y13.
See ya.
Bye.
I'll be back.